This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm safe.
Now to headlines. Today we have Oregon football news. Very exciting Oregon football news.
We got some hot news.
Yeah. So the Ducks, the networks actually, not the Ducks, but the networks announced some game times. And that's kind of cool and whatever.
Yeah,
but,
I guess. You know, hey.
Well, there's so many different windows now. Like, it is of note that the Ducks will be playing that Northwestern game up there in Chicago at 9 West Coast time.
Yeah.
So they have one of those early kicks. So that'll be on Fox on the 13th of September.
Well, good thing Northwestern isn't very good. And I think Oregon now, I'm pretty certain that Oregon and a lot of schools practice in the morning. So, I mean, it sucks. But, you know, the week before, you know, you reset the body clock, maybe go out there a day early. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were playing Ohio State at a 9 a.m. local time, but you'll be fine. We make, I think, sometimes too much of kick times. I mean, I've played morning games. I've played night games. The sweet spot is always, you know, the noon to 3 is what you want, but it's games aren't won and lost because of kick times.
So the Oklahoma State game at Autzen will be September 6th, they're going to kick that off at 12:30. That'll be on CBS for you.
See, that's prime right there. Because, you know, you don't have to wake up too early. You get some tailgating in. I think people would probably like that to be maybe 3:30. But then you get home at a decent time. I love the 12:30 kick. Big fan.
I agree.
Big fan.
If I were going, I would love that.
Yes.
And then...
You didn't say the Montana State time, you jerk.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yeah, you glossed over the season opener.
I'm going in order of importance. Actually, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Penn State would be the first one.
I don't like your dismissal of the first game.
Big Ten Network, your opener against Montana State. 1 p.m.
Tasty little kickoff time.
Let's play the fun game of how many empty seats, because the students aren't back yet. It's Montana State.
Well, we have to have the conversation of what's wrong with college football, and nobody's going.
Guarantee there'll be some sort of hot topic think piece that happens.
Yeah, that or why do they even play these games and against teams where they can beat them by 80 or whatever?
No conversation will be actually had about football. Although, you know, that's one.
Unless the offense sputters, and then we'll have a quarterback controversy.
Well, watch out for my Grizz.
That's not
Bobcats.
There you go. Montana State, though, I mean,
they're good.
That's a really good team.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, that's good pizza. That is one of those games that I've never understood why you play.
Hell yeah, that's good pizza.
Because if you blow the doors off of them, who cares? It's Montana State. But it's like with Idaho, you know, every now and then one of those schools comes out and gives you a game, or, you know, South Dakota, something ends up nicking you in the knee, and then you look like a fool. If you're going to play a nobody team, literally go play a nobody team. Give me the Sister Mary School of the Blind, right? Play that. Or don't. I don't like those Montana State games. That's all risk, nothing to gain.
So then on the 27th of September, as you know, the Ducks will be traveling to Penn State, Happy Valley. And they have been chosen as the one whiteout game of the season. So at 4:30 Pacific time, it'll be on NBC. The Ducks will play in Happy Valley, and it will be a whiteout.
I just have always preferred the whites.
I can't wait till Dan Lanning is asked about the whites, and then he has to, you know, he's got to.
So does this mean that the Ducks will do their best to wear as much white as possible? Because I was just thinking about him at...
Oh, yeah.
Remember, because they danced around to around in Wisconsin.
I'm telling you right now, if Dan Lanning is going to go full Dan Lanning, they wear the Stormtroopers.
Ooh,
Penn State wear...
Do they? No, they wear blue at
home,
right?
They wear blue at home.
Yeah, Oregon could go
Stormtrooper.
They're
going to wear the whites.
But, I mean, Penn State could choose. The home team chooses.
Right. I guess they could go white. Do they, or have they, for their own
whiteouts? I would have to look at that, but they wear blue at home.
Yeah.
But if Oregon really wants to give the FU, you just wear the Stormtroopers at the whiteout. Phenomenal. Phenomenal troll.
The other, go ahead.
I don't know if you would, because Penn State still wears white pants and white helmets, so I'm guessing that they don't, because it could get a little weird, but I just think it would be great at the whiteout at night, 100,000 people, and Oregon, you go into warmups wearing one thing. And then when you come back out, you come back running out, because Notre Dame does this sometimes. Like they go out in one thing and they'll come out wearing the special uniform.
Really?
It'd be freaking awesome.
Oregon did it in the Rose Bowl when they had those shiny helmets. Yeah. They didn't warm up in them. They came out of the tunnel with them.
Notre Dame has done that a couple times. Like, surprise, bitches, shiny helmets.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Helmets?
I think they've done it with their green jerseys, too.
But I know they did it with the helmets.
What a dumb bit. What is that for?
It's just, you know, it's a little.
The other team's like,
the guys sucked
up. Oh, no.
Or maybe they lean against it and they go full blackout. What's stronger than the white? The dark. And there's going to be some very inspirational Ducks versus them, like history of the white, the snow, the crystallization of a snowflake, something like that.
Okay. Well, I don't know what they're going to do, but I do know that the whiteout is a thing. It's usually their biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
And and everybody wears white in the stadium now.
By the way, I did look it up, and no, Penn State does not wear their road white uniforms during the whiteouts. So they will be wearing blue.
Yeah.
So in theory, if Oregon wanted to, they could do Stormtroopers.
I don't think they could, because if you think about it, you mentioned it, Penn State will have white pants, white helmet.
Yeah.
Ducks would have white pants, white helmet, white jersey. The only thing that wouldn't be white would be the Penn State jerseys.
No one can handle that much white.
It's moving more into the whites.
It's too white. Well, if you could, if the rules would allow it, you wear the Stormtroopers and stick it where the sun don't shine for the Nittany Lion game.
So do you know the history of the whiteout? Do you know how it began?
I do not.
Well, I had to go read up on this today, you know, for show purposes.
Mm-hmm.
In 2002, leading up to a very big game against Nebraska, there was a fear that in Happy Valley, there would be a sea of red because the Nebraska fans travel.
Yeah. Better than maybe anybody. Those dudes are nuts.
And so an email began circulating amongst Penn State fans to wear both blue to the game and not sell their tickets to Husker fans.
Sure.
Makes sense. It was dubbed Operation Visine to get the red out. See what they did there?
That's clever.
And that was the precursor to the modern whiteout.
Oh, but that's not a whiteout. That's a blue out.
Yeah, but it morphed into the whiteout.
Are they the first?
Because of that.
Are they the first ones to do that? Because now
that was only 2002. I can't imagine they were the first.
Yeah, they were the first ones to ever wear the same color. Come on, Penn State.
I don't know. If, like, because the fans and all that. Like, I think everyone does it. BYU has a blackout, which is the most ironic thing in the world because we have like three black guys on the team. But, you know, we do blackouts. They wear black uniforms.
Black, please. Thank you.
I think a lot of people do the blackout.
Penn State's record on whiteout games.
Mm-hmm.
So that one technically wasn't a whiteout game.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they were blue. But
I'm guessing it's not that great because if they're picking it for the biggest game of the year, I'm guessing that's close to 500.
So in 2004, they were kind of having a down year and their AD asked them all to wear white to a game against Purdue.
Okay.
And they kind of did.
Purdue.
Yeah. And that's where it started. So
we'd have some balls against that big Purdue team.
The first one, well, Purdue was number 9 at the time.
Oh, well, I stand corrected.
Yeah. Hey. You might want to walk that back.
I will. Who could have
thought? Who the hell was on that team?
Yeah, Purdue was top 10.
2004? Probably.
No, that's not Drew Brees.
It's not Brees.
It's probably like a Curtis Painter.
Ooh, good call. I bet it is.
What about?
There is no one else at Purdue football.
Wasn't there one other good quarterback there?
I'll look here and see what we got.
Oh, wait.
Scrolling.
They lost, by the way.
Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton.
Yeah, there wasn't. See? He was awesome.
Kyle Orton was good. I thought you were like, see?
Well, I knew it was a name that I knew.
Rob Ninkovich.
It had to be, because Purdue.
And LeVar Pollard.
Purdue is not ranked that high without a really good quarterback.
They went 7-5.
Well, they were number 9 at the time, and they beat Penn State 20-13 in 2004. That started the whiteout. Now, it was solidified the next year when Penn State upset number 6 Ohio State at the whiteout.
Okay.
And that, of course, then everybody's like, well, we have to do this every year. So Michigan, they do it for the Michigan game a lot, or have done it for the Michigan game a lot, and Ohio State game. Oregon will be the opponent for the whiteout this year. Penn State's record overall for whiteout games is 13-8.
All right.
And they have won 6 in a row.
Ooh.
So it was a losing record.
Yeah.
But now that they're good,
yeah.
I do feel like there have been a couple times where they've put the whiteout on crappy games.
Yeah, just to get a,
just to get some dubs.
But I also think they've put it on a couple Ohio State games that they've definitely lost. Thanks close ones. So.
Not since 2018, though.
Can I say that is my
favorite. I was listening the whole time.
No, you weren't. That is my favorite thing, is when Rob says something.
I swear I heard everything.
He literally just said Ohio State and Michigan games, and Buck was like, I think they threw in some Ohio State games as well. I freaking love it. Never change.
Yeah, so they beat number 16 Michigan in 2019, number 22 Auburn in 2021. Of course, it wasn't a COVID game. Minnesota, see, they put Minnesota on there, yeah. Row the boat, beat them handily. Yeah. Number 24 Iowa.
Sometimes the Whites need a win.
Hey, the Washington game last year was a whiteout.
Oh,
yeah, and they beat him 35-6.
Yeah, Washington sucked.
And they also had a whiteout for their college football playoff game against SMU. Which so they did two whiteouts.
That was also a win.
And they won those. So they won 6 in a row.
And by the way,
so watch out, Ducks.
And Oregon plays Rutgers at 4 and Minnesota at 6. There's the two other.
The Minnesota news, though, that's on a Friday, not on a Saturday.
So oh, there you go.
That's gives them one more day to prepare for USC, but also just not a Saturday game.
Also announced was that on the 20th of September, the Apple Cup in Pullman will be on CBS at 4:30. 4:30.
Yeah, that's I'm still having to
4:30.
Yeah, the Civil War Apple Cup beginning of the year thing. That's just
week 4.
Yeah.
And coincidentally,
remember last year Washington State beat them. Everyone thought that those rivals were just going to, you know, that was going to be a just a universal ass kicking, and Washington ran like to the short side of the field on a quarterback sprint and lost the game.
Who is Washington State's coach now?
They got the guy from South Dakota State who has brought over like every player from South Dakota State, and his name is
Bill Terry
Jimmy Rogers.
Is that his name?
Yeah. No, I just made it up.
Well, it kind of did sound made up.
It sounded made up.
Jimmy Rogers?
Jimmy Rogers.
That's correct.
From South Dakota State.
From South Dakota State. He was the coach of the Jackrabbits.
Was who that took a good down, hire?
Well, South Dakota State's good. Remember they beat your Kansas Jayhawks a few years ago? Yeah. Yeah, he was he was really successful at South Dakota State.
By the way, that's not saying much. But yes, they have a good program. That game, so 4:30 on CBS in Pullman. Coincidentally, that game is 7 days before the Huskies have to go host Ohio State.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little little tidbit, a little sprinkle tidbit.
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly why I said that, Jace.
Yeah, well,
it's a tidbit.
Just a little...
Yeah.
Little titty there.
Well,
tiddy, tid, tid.
Yeah, T-I-D-D-Y.
Get your mind tidy, out of the gutter.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Jeez.
Well, I'd say that's 2 days in a row. You have almost been called into HR. If we had an HR department, you would have been called in.
Fined by the FCC?
You can say there's nothing wrong with that. T-I-D-D-Y.
Well, I smell a segment.
What can you say on the radio?
I don't want to say this.
I don't like that
don't,
segment.
No, this that's not a segment. Segment.
No, I smell a segment for football season. Can I say?
Well, you
T-I-D-D-Y.
Said,
college football titties.
Boy.
What?
That's what he said.
I
know.
That's fine. That you can say that.
I was more comfortable when you did the Tuesday tidbitties, which was already on a dangerous tightrope.
Yeah, I think you're right. This was not good. We shouldn't have done any of this. I like that. Tidbitties. College football.
What's your own idea? You've already done
it. I know. My philosophy is to push until you're told to. And what's the saying? Like,
better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Exactly.
But we said nothing wrong.
You might have.
No, I did not.
You might have.
Then you also might have.
I might have.
No.
There's a reason we're not just saying it all the time.
Look, I just don't like we said that.
Yeah.
Wholesome show. Family show.
Blah!
All right. is there anyone who doesn't think the SEC has the toughest schedule? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, next order of business. More college football.
We call this the college football sugar tease. Now there's a segment we can all get behind. Really? We got to go there?
What?
Clean it up.
You're the one that did it.
Clean it up. It's ridiculous.
Are your balls jiggling? So the SEC sent like a 7-page memo.
Yeah. It's a TPS report.
To the media. Outlining how tough their schedule is.
They love this.
Well, I guess you do lean into your, you know, you tout your con. I mean, I get that.
Sure.
But,
well, you saw it.
But
like
what are they... What is the point? Yeah, I mean, I have it here. Well,
but the thing was, because originally, you know, the four automatic qualifiers, right?
Yeah.
And then it turns out there was a lot of pushback, and there was a lot of SEC coaches that didn't want that.
Yeah, they want the 5-11.
They want the 5-11.
Top five conference champions.
And then 11.
And then 11 at large.
Because the idea is that if you go to the four automatic qualifiers, everyone wants the SEC then to play nine conference games.
Right.
And it turns out the SEC coaches are like, no, we'd rather play an 8-game schedule, still have that William and Jewel game at the end of the year, and then just let the dice, or I guess it would be the chips fall where they may at the end. Because we talked about this. If you look through like last year as the example, I think there would have been 6 SEC teams in there. So you don't really need the automatic qualifiers. I think their belief is we're going to get more than 4 teams in. So let's just stay with the 8-game schedule, guarantee us at least one more win. So now there's that debate of, you know, it's funny. Everyone that was upset at the SEC for trying to push the 4 automatic qualifiers, and now the SEC is like, we may not want that. Let's just stick with the 5-11.
I get the debate. But I don't get why the SEC seems to think that anyone needs to be convinced that they have the toughest schedule. Like, we all know that.
I know, but people love to push. But to be fair, people love to take cracks at the SEC.
Yeah, so they put out numbers.
So they put up, you know,
I get it, but...
And the SEC can do whatever they want anyway, so they don't need to justify it, right?
Like, hey, kind of,
Big Ten's got 2 national titles in a row.
That's right.
So the SEC, this was part of it. It said the SEC only has 2 teams outside the top 50 in average strength of record over the past 10 years. And this says it provides clear evidence of the rigor of its regular season compared to other leagues. And then it's got a little chart because you have to, because media's dumb. They have to see the chart, visualize it. The SEC number of teams outside the top 50, the SEC has had 2, which is 13%. The Big Ten, 8, 44%. The Big 12, 9, 56%. And the ACC, 11, 65% of its teams outside the top 50.
Sure.
So, I mean, they felt the need to send a 7-page PowerPoint to the media to explain this.
And here's the thing. You're right in that at this point, if you're going to sit there and debate that any league is harder than the SEC, then you're just as dumb as the SEC.
I mean, if you're making that argument, it's disingenuous and nobody believes you. We all know the truth.
You can say that the SEC is crowned up and the SEC tries to give themselves unfair advantages and they try to use too much sway and all that. Sure. But the bottom line is they produce more champions. They produce more NFL players. They have more quality teams. Now, if you want to say at the back end of that, you know, I mean, Mississippi State went 0-8 in the conference. You know, Kentucky went 1-7. Auburn went 2-6. Those aren't dominant teams by any stretch of the imagination. But no one wants to go through a conference that has Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, Bama, LSU, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss. I mean, no one, even Missouri last year, like those were all, and Florida wasn't as bad as we thought they were. There's just not another conference that can boast the top end and the mid level. I think no matter what conference you're in, when you get down to the bottom, there's going to be crap. But even, you know, according to the SEC, their bottom crap is better than the Big 12's bottom crap, which is probably true, but it doesn't mean that your S doesn't stink. it doesn't mean that you're infallible. Again, 2 years in a row, you haven't won the national title. But the SEC just loves to, you know, loves to toot its own horn. But if the Pac-12 or the Big Ten had this, would they have been any different? If the Pac-12 back in the day, who loved to try to throw their spin at it, if USC and Oregon and Cal and if that was the SEC, do you think it would have been any different with the Pac-12?
What do you mean? Like they wouldn't put something like this out? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like...
Well, I think the Pac-12 would, because the Pac-12 has always felt like it had to kind of... Like they were always the overlooked one.
Yeah.
So they kind of had to tout themselves. The SEC doesn't have to tout itself.
I'm wondering, when was the last time you saw a player, a team, a conference, a league that clearly was, you know, king of the hill that didn't pound their chest? I think that just comes with the territory. Like there, when you are the best and you feel challenged or someone wants to take shots at you, I feel like everyone, I just feel like that's just natural. And it's annoying that the SEC does it, but they do it because they can't.
You've asserted your dominance, you remind people of your dominance.
I mean, I get that, but this almost feels like set the record straight type of propaganda, which is stupid because there is no record to be set straight. We all get what the SEC is.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say, hey, we're great. It's another to be like, well, it seems like you don't understand our greatness.
I mean, just stupid.
Is it possible that, again, 2 years in a row, and you feel like maybe because of the NIL era that some of your grip on the college football world is slipping a little
or
bit?
Or they're just trying to justify their automatic qualifier.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. You know.
That they may not even want.
Yeah, I think they do. It's interesting that the SEC is split.
Yeah.
Now, the part that is split doesn't really matter. Like what the coaches say, I mean, they, you know, they don't really have much of a say. It's the presidents.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it was interesting to see that the coaches came out and they were not aligned with what the conference is saying.
No.
So, I mean, I don't know that matters, but it's, kind of interesting.
I do. I think it is intriguing. And do the coaches ultimately get to make the decision, or is that an AD thing? And they go to them and be like, hey, this guarantees us a certain amount of money. And I think you take the automatic qualifiers because it's foot in the cash register as opposed to.
Well, a 9-game schedule.
And yeah.
It makes you more money.
Yeah. But
they're not. I mean, I know the coaches don't want that, but they ain't going to get what they want in that.
I wouldn't think so.
It's about dollars and cents.
I feel like the automatic qualifier thing is going to happen, but we'll see. Nothing's been decided.
Lane Kiffin.
I want to look. I think in the last 25 years.
What an exciting time.
And I did a brief look. I think they have like 18 of the national championships.
Yeah.
In college football.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to send out a 7-page document reminding people of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just silly.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Mike Leach may get into the Hall of Fame yet.
Well, my.
That story next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.